What a privilege it is to be here with you today. I would like to briefly share with you the spiritual experience that accompanied this assignment. When I said yes to giving a BYU devotional, the Spirit descended on me what I can only explain as a whoosh, for immediately I felt the immense love that God has for all of you. And I felt the magnitude of this responsibility to share a meaningful message that invites the Spirit during this time, which has been specifically reserved and dedicated for you to take a break from your studies and allow the Holy Ghost to be the master teacher. My words, they're not nearly as important as the message that the Holy Ghost wants to impress upon your heart today. I pray that together we may cherish his gentle whisperings. Today, I want to talk to you about reflecting the light of Christ and your journey of becoming you. As new temples continue to dot the land, they add such light and joy. I particularly like to see the stained glass windows, each design unique to that temple. I love how the images add local significance as they reflect the beauty of God's creations specific to that area, like the hibiscus flower that you can find in the Lai Hawaii Temple and the olive leaves that intertwine throughout the Rome Italy Temple. I was recently told that if you were to remove the building structure of the new Orem Temple, all of the windows would combine to make one giant, beautiful cherry tree. These images, they magnify God's hand in the world around us. I'm enamored by stained glass's rich play with color and texture, as the artist utilizes individual, unique pieces of glass that then work together to create something grand and beautiful. Constructed with lead and glass, the artist then has the privilege to partner with God, who provides the third essential element that gives this art form its greatest glory, and that is light. Stained glass is most brilliant when it refracts rays of sunlight. My fascination with light's play on this medium allowed the Spirit to kind of nudge me as I was watching the broadcast for the 2024 youth theme. A group of youth had just made these small stained glass of the new theme's artwork. And discussing the experience, there was one youth who shared how beautiful the glass was as they worked with it all on its own. But wow, when held up to the light, the color changed. And it was much more vibrant. As they continued to talk about how that transformation relates to the light of Christ, my heart was full as the thought impressed upon my mind, that is exactly what we have the privilege of experiencing here at BYU. Because no matter your field of study, everything you are learning, producing, researching, or performing, it is beautiful. All on its own. But wow, when illuminated with the light of Christ, it becomes more vibrant and magnificent, radiating its influence even further. It is not despite our double heritage. No, it is directly because of our double heritage, a heritage that integrates the secular and the spiritual, that we can illuminate our work with the light of Christ and magnify the glory of God. I am so grateful to be a part of the work taking place on this campus at this time. It is a work that requires us to lean into our faith, to expand our double heritage, and to have the courage to be different as we engage in President Reese's emphasis on becoming BYU. But as you join BYU in this effort, you too will embark on your own journey of becoming, because all of us constitute the you that is found in BYU. Elder Dallin H. Oaks, in his talk, The Challenge to Become, said, in contrast to institutions of the world which teach us to know something, the gospel of Jesus Christ challenges us to become something. We all have to-do lists, but what's on your to-become list? As President Kimball delivered his second century address, he provided prophetic direction for BYU's to-become list. And the approaching sesquicentennial extends a valuable opportunity for us to check in and see how we as a university are doing. But likewise, each of us has access to prophetic direction for our personal lives through blessings given by faithful patriarchs. We would be wise to check in often and see how we are doing in our own journey of becoming. Invite the Spirit to teach you what you need to know right now for the next steps in your journey towards becoming the inspired you of whom the patriarch prophesied. While serving my mission in Zurich, Switzerland, President Alan Johnson, he challenged all of us missionaries to memorize our patriarchal blessings, opening the door for the Holy Ghost to bring the exact words to our minds when we needed them most. In memorizing my blessing, I have found that the words of Patriarch T. Artie Adams are like the perfect sidekick companion, always showing up just in the nick of time and providing me with the exact tools that I need for the challenge in front of me while offering encouragement and comfort. I invite you to memorize your blessings and allow the Holy Ghost to enlighten your mind with its words that are just for you and key to your journey of becoming. As you do so, you will catch a glimpse and begin to understand your divine identity and potential. Almost 50 years ago, President Kimball, he saw your brightness and the contributions that you would make to this campus and to the world. In his Education for Eternity address, he shared, "It is notable that numerous students changed their lives on this campus." That is you. Later, President Kimball said, "There will rise brilliant stars in drama, literature, music, sculpture, painting, science, and in all the scholarly graces. But this university can be the refining host for many such individuals who will touch men and women in the world over long after they have left this campus." If you think those brilliant stars of whom President Kimball spoke of are for a future time in BYU's history, that it's a prophecy yet to be fulfilled, I want to tell you that I have seen this greatness in seemingly ordinary students walking the halls of our campus today. These are students who embrace BYU's dual heritage by study and by faith. They invite the Spirit into their studies following President Nielsen's admonition to have the continual companionship of the Holy Ghost. As stained glass artist Tom Holdman worked on the design for the Rome, Italy temple, he created hundreds of little crystal stars that were placed in the corners of window panels. The edges of each of these crystals were beveled and angled by hand to enhance and reflect the most light. In the artist's hands, the crystals transformed from a beautiful piece of glass, but into a magnificent, brilliant star. So how is the Savior beveling you? Where is he cutting and shaping so that you may reflect the most of his light? By placing yourself in the hands of the master artist, he can transform you too. I believe that one of BYU's brilliant stars is Jared Steele. Jared was not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when he came to BYU, and he had no interest in pursuing religion while he was here. He just wanted to focus on completing his education without any distractions. And well, I guess BYU's reputation for chocolate milk consumption over partying, it just fit the bill. So Jared worked closely with Professor Ian Hunter to better understand the biomechanics of distance running. He pursued his education and research with rigor. But because faith is so seamlessly integrated with scholarship at BYU, in Jared's own words, it just started to seep in. Professor Hunter, along with other students and faculty in the Department of Exercise Sciences, magnified their work through the light of Christ. They captured the essence of what President Kimball has referenced as bilingual, speaking in the language of scholarship and the language of faith. In 2023, Jared was baptized by Professor Matt Seeley and then confirmed a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by Professor Hunter. Jared shared, "I always used to think that science and religion were two very distinctly different things. But the more that I have been here, I see that they actually help each other. As my faith has grown, so has my ability to be a scientist." Jared, I think President Nielsen would agree with you. For in the dedication of the Life Sciences Building, he said, "Whether truth comes from a scientific laboratory or by revelation from the Lord, it is compatible. Through Jared's experience with integration of faith and science, he found that he was in the beveling process, preparatory to the light that he would shine for the world. Jared's research is focused on the super shoe, a running shoe that helps distance runners reduce their time. Now, this is a significant endeavor all on its own, but like the stained glass, when illuminated by the light of Christ, its reach and impact are even more magnificent. This was manifest as Jared was inspired to expand the shoe's benefits to bless the lives of countless others. Jared's dad had suffered a heart attack, and Jared was actively part of the recovery process. He frequently walked with his dad, who became winded after only 2 minutes. From this experience, the Spirit, who often talks to us through our thoughts, sparked the idea of adapting the super shoe to speed up the recovery time of vulnerable populations, including heart attack or stroke patients. Jared was confident that he could leverage this technology to help make each step more efficient and less taxing on the body. So in the lab, he dedicated his time to testing his theory, and with great success. As one of the brilliant stars at BYU, Jared, he's ready. He is ready to share his light and knowledge to improve the quality of life for those who suffer from heart attacks, strokes, surgery, or illnesses, all for the benefit of the world. Jared is a great reflection of Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So in honor of President Nielsen's upcoming 100th birthday, I see Jared as a great example of that 99 plus one. While he may have been the one when he came to BYU, one who Professor Hunter and Seeley Son served, Jared readily took on the other role as he ministered to the one, his dad. By serving the one, God was able to show Jared how he could reach and serve countless others. To each of you who, like me, see and often celebrate these outstanding achievements of the bright stars among us, but maybe think, yes, but they were destined to do great things. I am happy to just do my little part and support in small and simple ways. Well, I have a story for you. Going back to Tom Holdman, when he was working on the San Antonio, Texas temple, he wanted to use agate stone in the stained glass windows. Now, agate looks like a rough rock on the outside, but inside it can have this vibrant, translucent appearance that lets light shine through, highlighting its beautiful banded layers. And when Tom visited the temple site, he mentioned his intention to the missionary who was overseeing the construction, who then, with tears in his eyes, emotionally led Tom to a trailer full of rough stones. He explained that while digging the foundation, they encountered essentially a cave full of rocks. And without knowing particularly why, the construction missionary followed a prompting and instructed his crew to pull out and save all of these stones from the cave before proceeding with their dig. This action resulted in significant teasing from the crew, because who just saves a pile of rocks? But now, standing in front of the trailer next to Tom, the missionary knew why he was led to do so. These stones, with their beautiful agate interior, were carefully preserved in the earth, ready to come forth when God needed their vibrant quality to shine forth from his holy temple. Later, Tom came across Isaiah's prophecy about temples in 3 Nephi 22:12, where it says, "And I will make thy windows of agate." Today, Tom tries to include a piece of this prophesied agate into every temple he works on. Perhaps you are like the agate stone, covered in this rough exterior, but with an undiscovered bright interior, with beautiful colors of experience and banded layers ready to transmit the light of Christ when the master artist needs you. No, your time will come. He is very much aware of you and has a purpose for you. If you invite the Spirit into all of your life's endeavors and you seek to know and follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost, you will be right where you need to be, right when you need to be, and with just the right preparation and knowledge to radiate the light of Christ wherever God places you. I see this in Tucker Bateman, a microbiology student who was directed and prepared to be in the right place for God to utilize his vibrant qualities. Tucker grew up on a farm, but resolved to attend medical school, and he felt directed to study microbiology. He was here at BYU pursuing his dreams, and nothing was going to deter him from his ambitions. But then his dad died. And suddenly, medical school, it didn't feel right. Following the spiritual impressions, Tucker continued to study microbiology, but he was open to where God directed him. And acting on the advice of a professor, Tucker walked into the tech transfer office seeking information, but he walked out with a new direction. The Lord was beginning to cut through Tucker's outer layer of stone and was getting ready to polish those banded layers of his experience to transmit a light that would benefit the world. So now, with a background in farming and an education in microbiology, Tucker is poised to address food insecurity in a way that no one else has. Salinization, the accumulation of salt in soil, this is rapidly becoming one of the biggest challenges for food productions worldwide. Currently, there are over 2.5 billion acres and an estimated 300 million marginal farming families in developing countries who are affected by decreased crops due to significant increasing salt concentration in the soil. And many of these sustenance farmers are living on only $2 a day, but they're watching even that dwindle. So working with Michael Davis and Fritz Karl Merlant, Tucker has found a viable solution for the salt salinity problem that focuses on the microbiome. They're in the process of patenting their innovation right now. Because Tucker was willing to listen to the Spirit when it directed him towards microbiology to pursue medicine, but then away from medicine to explore these innovative solutions for an increasingly devastating problem, the Lord was able to polish Tucker's layers of experience. He placed Tucker in the right place to go forth and serve with the potential to reduce hunger and poverty around the globe. Now, I find it particularly interesting that Tucker's pursuit of medical school, it wasn't incorrect, even though he didn't end up there. Rather, it served as a guidepost, sending him in the right direction to fulfill a greater plan that God had in store for him. I encourage you to have faith in the guidepost that God sets in your life. Walk down these inspired paths, but have the meekness to change course when directed. Tucker expressed it well when he said, "I think that God always tries to teach us through the things that happen to us if we are willing to learn. He is inspiring minds, and I have faith that we can make life better for God's children." In your journey of becoming, recognize that whether you are a crystal star that the master artist is in the process of beveling, or agate that God has preserved and brought to the right place at the right time to share your vibrant light, God has a place for you in his grand masterpiece. A critical step in this journey of becoming is to embrace your divine identity as a child of God, a child of the covenant, and a disciple of Christ. The first identity, it's a blessing that's inherent to every single one of us. But the other two, those are identities we get to choose whether we take them upon ourselves or not. I want you to know that as a child of God, he is aware of you. He sees you and is mindful of your needs. Earlier this year, I had a precious experience that opened my eyes to his simple yet tender mercies. I was having a hard day. So I stopped the project that I was working on, and I said a little prayer at my desk. As I ended the prayer, a thought entered my mind. This is a chocolate kind of day. So taking this as direct personal revelation, I stepped away from my office, and I headed to the Wilkinson Center to buy me some chocolate. It was a beautiful day, and the quad was filled with students who were sitting on the grass eating lunch, talking, studying, and enjoying the nice weather. But there was one student who caught my attention. Sitting on the grass, she took a bite of her sandwich. Well, giant tears streamed down her cheeks. I didn't know the burden she carried, but I felt God's love for one of his children. And I thought, yep, this is definitely a chocolate kind of day. So I walked into the BYU store and I purchased two Dove chocolate bars with the intention of sharing one with the student I saw crying. And as I started to walk in the direction where she sat on the grass, doubt quickly entered my mind. What if I embarrass her? And what am I even going to say? But the spirit nudged me on. And as I extended my hand to offer her the chocolate, the thought, as clear as someone talking to me, entered my mind. God sees you. As I walked away, she still had a tear running down her cheek, but she had a smile too, and so did I. So to the student who I saw on the grass that day, and to every one of you, I testify that you are a child of God. He sees you, and he loves you enough to even send someone for chocolate. We need to recognize this divine identity in all of God's children. He wants us to stop, step outside ourselves, and serve one another. Second, embrace your identity as a child of the covenant. In Elder Dale G. Renlund's March devotional, he said that our covenants transform, save, and exalt us. For each of us, the covenant path starts with baptism. And with this covenant, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which testifies of all truth and amplifies the values of BYU's double heritage. With this gift, you are entitled to personal revelation in all your endeavors as you honor your covenants. And that includes your studies here at BYU. Elder Bednar said, "The blessings of the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost and the spiritual gift of revelation are central to inspiring and experiential learning. Worthiness to receive revelation and the faith to act upon revelation we receive are key in these learning processes." One great example of applying revelation to our work and studies at BYU is the Strong Youth Project. This was initiated by Professor Matt Seeley, and the program aims to create lifelong physical activity enthusiasts by improving the culture of youth sports through education and the application of research-based practices. Ben Barton, he's a member of our BYU's track and field team, and he's working on the project. He shared how they invite the spirit of revelation to their work when he said, "We read the scriptures and pray to receive inspiration and answers that we would not have found otherwise." Callie Ray Floyd, who's a dancer and is also working on this project, added that she sees divine revelation aid their efforts. And she said, "We spend time in the temple to pray, and eventually ideas start flowing, and everyone comes together on the same page." I love that they go to the temple together. As you invite the Spirit into your studies, you'll catch a glimmer of the light that God has in store for you. President Monson emphasized the value of learning how the Spirit talks to you when he said, "As we pursue the journey of life, let us learn the language of the Spirit. Follow the promptings that come, the thoughts, the whisperings, the expansion of your heart, and you will witness how you are becoming one of those bright stars that President Kimball prophesied of in his second century address." Third, embrace your identity as a disciple of Christ. Cherish the time you have here at BYU, where a sacred space has been designed to invite the Spirit into all that you learn, all that you do, and all that you are. There is a distinct purpose in God's plan for establishing a school that educates by study and by faith. For such an experience lays the groundwork and provides a spiritual education on how to be a disciple of Christ. Here, you may become a disciple scholar. And if you learn to integrate faith into all of your life's endeavors, you may also become a disciple employee, a disciple family member, a disciple friend and neighbor, but ultimately a disciple of Christ who radiates his light to everyone you encounter in your journey of becoming. As President Eyring said in his April 2003 General Conference address, "Your worthiness and your desire will shine in your face and your eyes." Kind of like the light that's shining in the stained glass windows. You will be excited about the Lord's church and his work, and it will show. You will be his disciple 24 hours a day in every situation. Speaking what you believe will be part of what you are. President Eyring continued in his talk to give an example of his father, who spoke to audiences around the world. And at a large scientific convention, his father referenced creation and a creator as he talked about a science. Young President Eyring declared, "Dad, you bore your testimony." His father responded, "Did I? It was simply who he was. This can be simply who we are too. As we grow in our discipleship, we will speak naturally of faith in science, faith in law, faith in leadership, faith in art, faith in humanity. BYU is a great training ground for becoming a disciple scholar, but it's up to you to translate that into your next phase as a disciple professional." In Emily Bell Freeman's book, Closer to Christ, she shares a story of Susan Marinda Bullock, who detailed in her journals how as a nurse, she would pray before visiting her patients and then listen for the direction she knew the Spirit would send. Susan learned to rely on that direction. She shared many examples of when a life had been saved because she had followed the whisperings of the Spirit. Now, while I do not personally have stories of lives saved, I can tell you, though, that I feel that my work at BYU is a sacred stewardship. As I have prayed over projects, my role, and the amazing, amazing students that I have the privilege of working with, I, too, have heard the tender whisperings of the Spirit giving me insights and direction, because God cares about the work that goes on at this university, because he cares about you. Standing in front of an art installation over at the law school, I was speaking with Mike Middleton about how the original Jorge Coco paintings depict the seven roles of the Savior that BYU Law encourages its students to emulate. And Mike told me that there are nearly 200 law schools in America, but BYU is the only one where the Savior is part of the curriculum. He then said, "I think Jesus walks the halls of the law school with these students." As he spoke the words, the Spirit testified to me with a tender feeling of warmth in my soul that yes, yes, he does. But then the thought entered my mind, not only does he walk with the students in the law school, he walks by the side of students in every hall on this campus. I hope that you can feel it too and receive a witness that he is next to you on your journey of becoming. Part of becoming is recognizing that we are not there yet, and that after all we can do, we need our Savior's atonement and grace to get us there. Brad Wilcox, in his address titled "The Positive Difference Christ's Grace Can Make," said, "I am more determined to teach more clearly, as President Nilsen has taught, that repentance is a process, as are we, that often takes time and repeated effort. I wanted the members of my ward to know that God meets us where we are and offers grace to help us through the entire perfecting process, however long it takes. As you embrace your identity as a disciple of Christ, know he is there with you every step of the way." Referencing the stained glass that I spoke of at the beginning of my remarks, I want you to know that each of you is like a raw piece of glass in the hands of the master artist, the creator of our world. He knows your texture, your color, and your value. He fully understands your potential. And if you will allow him to shape you and maybe even bevel a few of those edges, he will place you in the exact location he needs for you to have the greatest impact on his work, to create his masterpiece. Like the piece of stained glass in a stained glass window, you are beautiful and make a valuable contribution all on your own. But when you allow the light of Christ to shine through your countenance, your influence is expanded, allowing you to play a part in the greatest work and miracles that President Nilsen has spoke of for these coming days. I look forward to seeing what BYU becomes in this last half of his second century, but I am more eager to learn what you become as you embrace your divine identity as a child of God, a child of the covenant, and a disciple of Christ. I hope you each can feel the magnitude of his love for you and have caught a glimmer of your divine identity. I love our Savior with all of my heart, and I say these things in his sacred name, Jesus Christ. Amen.